welcome everyone to this here long-standing electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Folks, I hope you have your virtual PPE secured on tight, because this week, we're fighting germs. So, we all need a secret weapon once in a while, right? Mine is making deeply high-tech information conversational. Yeah, not as good as an umbrella gun or poison-dip daggers coming out of my shoes, but still pretty cool, right? So, in this week's news you may have missed, we're fighting superbugs with a secret weapon. Their own secret weapon. So, say you get some kind of bacterial infection. One way your body will fight that infection is to release these specific cells called macrophages. They will search high and low for those pesky pathogens, surround them, and then tickle them to death. Or something like that. Unfortunately, the bacteria can fight back. And when they do, they release a bunch of different toxins aimed directly at our immune cells. Now, this is especially a big problem when it comes to superbugs. If we could figure out a way to disarm those bacteria so they don't ever release those toxins, then maybe we could have a fighting chance against those deadly superbugs. Well, a team at the Biomedicine Discovery Institute at Monash University may have found a way to do just that, by uncovering a previously unknown bacterial secret weapon, a method used by bacteria to evade immune responses. So what they found was that a specific endotoxin actually turns on a kind of cellular suicide called apoptosis, where that toxin triggers a series of death factors in these immune cells by releasing small surface structures called outer membrane vesicles, which are basically bundles of toxins that target the cell's mitochondria. But it's not the bacteria toxin that actually kills the cell. No, this study found that the immune cells can sense that their mitochondria is no longer functioning during these infections and basically kill themselves. So in this study, this team used three different bacterial pathogens that range from pretty horrible to deadly and all have varying degrees of drug resistance. And in their mice subjects, they found that when they targeted that apoptosis process that these specific toxins cause in this process, the mice got better. And specifically, their inflammation went down. Not only did this new research show that we possibly have a new way to kickstart our immune responses, but also if you get this kind of superbug, we could have a new way to battle the inflammation that does a lot of damage to tissue. Dr. Thomas Naderer, one of the authors of this study, contends that understanding the ways that some bacterial infections evade immune response by targeting mitochondria opens up new therapeutic possibilities. He said, there has been a lot of effort trying to block endotoxins that kill immune cells, but this study really shifts the focus onto different toxins that might be more important. Take that, superbug secret weapon. We got you. So, if you want even more information about this super important superbug secret weapon study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to fight some bugs with a whole lot of help from the Element 14 community. My guest today is Tariq Ahmed from Newark Element 14. Tariq and I are chatting about how one Element 14 community member's call to action encouraged a global design contest that included some really cool new technology to fight germs. All right, let's go. Hi, Tariq. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure. So Element 14 recently revealed the winners of its Fighting Germs Design Challenge. Before we get into the winners and how they're going to fight germs throughout the world, Tariq, what was the goal of this challenge and what were the requirements to enter?
Let me just start out by saying Element 14 community, as you may or may not be aware of, is one of the first online communities for engineers. And we've had design challenges on the community for about as long as we've had the community. The Fighting Germs competition was part of what is known as the Project 14 program. Project 14 design challenges are a rather new development on the community. We've launched a different design challenge through the Project 14 program every month since it started in April of 2017. In some cases, we've launched more than one challenge. This program started as an experiment to see what would happen if community members came up with the ideas for the design challenges and voted on the design challenges they wanted to see. Once the design challenges ended, we would then give the community members, the engineers, a chance to pick the winners. The Fighting Germs competition launched almost immediately after the world went into lockdown due to COVID-19. So everything that occurred during this challenge happened in real time. The idea for this competition did not come from one of us, but it came from one of our members. On March 14th, one of our members started a discussion thread on the Element 14 community. Given the current global outbreak of COVID-19, he wondered if there are a few things engineers could devise to help out in some way. The idea being that projects would be affordable in terms of component availability and resources so others could replicate them easily and hopefully help out a few friends, neighbors, colleagues out in some way. Maybe do something that helps out in the medium term while people, especially older folks, are in isolation. He suggested this be a E14 flash challenge, a special E14 project to address an urgent issue, and went as far as saying prizes weren't necessary. 4 days later, we launched the Fighting Germs competition. The goal of this design challenge was to have members build projects that made it easy to be germ-free, protect the most vulnerable, and also do projects that help them cope with what's going on. We wanted to have an inclusive design challenge that gave engineers a chance to be a part of the solution at a time when there's no clear answers in sight.
So, Tariq, I read that Shabazz Youssef from the United Kingdom was the grand prize winner of this challenge. So, can you tell me a little bit about his creation?
Yeah, his project was virtuous contactless buttons that use an air tap operation. So, if you're riding a lift or an elevator, you can avoid touching buttons as a means of preventing the spread of germs. The air tap operation means that the surface of the unit need never be touched for selection or numeric entry, and it can be used indoors or outdoors. It's a nice and useful project that uses FFT and frequency analysis to solve problems.
Okay, so Tariq, the three first place winners were based in the United States, Canada, and India, and their creations were all very interesting to me. Can you tell me a little bit about each of them?
Sure. Let's start with the U.S. James Gorman, who's from Wisconsin, his project was a non-contact automatic temperature checker. With fever being one of the most common symptoms of COVID-19, being able to check someone for fever is a useful first step. It seems that a lot of companies are interested in ways to ensure that employees are safe when time comes for them to arrive back to work. And having a simple way to check for fever could be a way to get that done. James devised a simple rig to automatically check someone's temperature and give a pass-fail result, as well as a third borderline where there's an elevated temperature, but the person should proceed for further screening to verify. What he wanted to create was a simple device that could check one's temperature, and his project was well described and rich in code. What was great about this project is that it developed some statistics to solve the problem of classifying the states of what is healthy and what is sick. I'd like to also add that James donated his prize winnings along with his charity donations to Children's Hospital for COVID-19 relief. Looking in Canada, you have the Corona Cap from Douglas Wong. After seeing some 3D printed masks, Doug was inspired to make a simple one that could clip onto the brim of a baseball cap. It turned out to be very lightweight, transparent barrier that can prevent spray from reaching your face and prevent spray from getting into someone else's face. The 3D printed frame simply clamps to a photocopier transparency in a curved shape and clips the brim of your cap. You can also wear a filter style mask under it if you need added protection. Source code and 3D printed files were provided along with the project. It's a clean and easy device to help shield you from germs. The clip feature allows you to wear your favorite cap to protect yourself from germs, at the same time giving you back some sense of normality. Doug decided to donate his charity donation to Doctors Without Borders. Over in India, Raul's project was COVID-19 authorized entry using face mask detection. Thought behind this project was that prevention can be better than the cure. This system is designed to detect faces and determine whether a person is wearing a mask or not. The project could be used in hospitals, markets, bus terminals, restaurants, or any public gatherings where monitoring needs to be done, which really should be everywhere. This project consists of a camera that will capture the image of people entering public places, and it uses a person's facial features to detect whether or not they are wearing a mask. It's an excellent application of facial recognition technology, and there's a lot of potential with this design.
So, Tariq, I thought the prizes for this contest were really cool. Can you tell me a little bit about that aspect?
Yeah, we wanted whatever the prizes were going to be for this competition to be relevant to people who are actually going through. We knew that this wasn't about the prizes, so we wanted to make sure there's a charity donation involved. And we wanted to tie the prizes into the theme of fighting germs. The grand prize was a $550 IR thermometer plus a shopping cart and a matching donation to a COVID-19 related charity. The first place prizes were a germicidal lamp plus a shopping cart and a matching charity donation to a COVID-19 related charity. The most heartening aspect of this competition, perhaps, was what members did with the prizes after they won it. Multiple members decided to forego their prize winnings and give everything to charity. Shabazz decided to donate his $550 thermal imaging camera to a local school in case it helps with fever measurement, or school science lab, since they have little equipment and temperature is likely the single most important quantity to be able to measure for science and engineering. James decided to take his prize winnings and roll it into his COVID-19 charity donation and donate it all to Children's Charity Hospital. Douglas Wong decided to give his charity donation to Doctors Without Borders.
That's really wonderful. I really appreciate their charitable giving in this sense. So, Tariq, do you have any new contests coming up that you can tell my audience about?
Yes, we have three, in fact. The first one is the Electronic Arts Competition. This was an idea that was inspired by a similar design challenge that we did last year, known as the Picasso Design Challenge. That inspired a lot of creativity from our community members and just some really beautiful projects, such as a giant Raspberry Pi, which you can hang on your wall. We took it one step further with this electronic art competition because apparently there's a movement to create art out of electronics. The electronic art competition challenges you to use freeform circuitry to create circuit sculptures that interact with your surroundings. Or, similar to the Picasso challenge, you can use a board of your choice, such as a Raspberry Pi, Arduino, or Microbit, to create something beautiful. We also have the control systems competition, which just launched. Control systems are used everywhere. They're used in ovens, anti-blocking brake systems, drone stabilization, for example. We also have a sensor competition that's upcoming. And this competition is to design a sensor or use a sensor in a control system to do something interesting with sensor data.
Very cool. All right, Tariq, I think it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you love to cook, so Tariq, do you have a signature dish? Do you have something that you is a go-to to impress someone?
Wow. Let me think about that. You know, this sounds really like cheating almost because it's so easy to do. but I love a good old steak. Medium rare, mashed potatoes, corn on the cob, anything simple and hearty.
I love it. And that actually sounds amazing right now. So I think it's time for lunch. Well, Tariq, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I totally dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or if you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 21st, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton,
and you've been fried.